Hello, everybody. Today I'm going to talk about how Mirly achieves the great performance that we have for a little low cost. This talk was intended to be on the Azure Conf. It was on the Azure Conf, but it looks like one of the bad recorders that hate me eat my recording, so I have to come here again and record it for you. That's not a problem. But this time, I'm even editing myself. So if you see that it looks clunky, well, it's because I'm playing with the recorder. So let's jump straight ahead the thing. So how Mirly achieves a great performance? So before we begin, let me walk you through what Mirly is. So we have Mirly, which is this virtual wall that lets you collaborate with people in real time. So for example, I can see here who's on my board. I can chat. I will chat with myself. You can drag and drop sticky notes. This is another sticky. You can add comments on top of it. So you can say like, hey, I really like your notes. You can add stickers like, I like this, I'll reinforce my concept. Or you can even embed web pages. So let's say it's windowsazure.com. I'll drop it in the board so we can get to choose what do we want to show. It will take a little while if we want to get a thumbnail of the full site, but it's taking long, so I'll use the original one. So you can play around with these things. It's really natural. It looks like a desktop app rather than being a real web application, which is a all HTML5. You might know about Mirly because of the cloud cover. So we talk in depth about that, but I wanted to give you a little walkthrough before we jump and talk about the thing. So one more thing that is which I will be using for my presentation is once you have the mural created, you can drop these frames. So I'll put one here, and I'll put one around here too. Let's put it down here so you see a transition. Is that you can perform presentations on top of the mural. So this was a quick overview of what Mirly is, right? So let's now go into the presentation a little bit farther. So how we started with Mirly. Before we begin, that's me. That's my Twitter handle. That's my GitHub account where I put most of the stuff that I work on. Also, if you check Mirly's organization, you'll see that we have most of our stuff open sourced. You can check Mirly by yourself, and there are these two links around here, MRLI, WAC Azure Conf, and WAC Azure Conf Code, which are like the code and the presentation that you're seeing right now, so you get to play with whatever I'll be presenting today. So let me go back to the thing and let's chat a little bit about what how we started. So we had many ideas, right? So we said like, hey, how we are going to build this thing that I've just showed you, how are we going to represent the model, how we are going to store these, and sadly we started picking the wrong language. So we chose Java and Google App Engine at the beginning. It wasn't what we wanted, but it was a good way also to understand and to prototype what was on the other side of the things. We were working with Azure before on past projects, and we say, hey, why don't we give it a try to Java and see what's going on, what people is talking about. Sadly, we didn't like it. So we found the right language for doing the job, which was Node.js, because it's based on JavaScript, it's really fast to deploy, and it's widely known around our team. As you can imagine, Mural is written on JavaScript and HTML, so 80% of our code is written on JavaScript, so we know JavaScript. So we chose Node, but we said, like, hey, we need to pick a right architecture to try to solve this problem. Our problem, to put it on a way, is like how we represent the board, how we represent the board on the background, on the back end, like how we store it, how we communicate between the client and the server. Should we use, I don't know, operations? Should we post a copy, a full copy? Should we store it on queues? What we should do? So we were giving some thought, and our initial guess was like, hey, why don't we go ahead, create a couple of workers and a couple of queues and a couple of blobs. Sadly, it didn't work. Why? Mostly, it didn't work because what we were doing was trying to send thousands of operations stored on queues. But then when we were thinking about scalability, it was like, if I scale up my workers and I have more than one, how do I handle concurrency? So you start creating all these mechanisms for map reducing things and storing blobs right there. So we needed a way to store things and let the concurrency be handled by anyone who knows how to handle concurrency. So our thought was, why don't we talk straight to the database? We need a powerful database engine that lets us store documents, like if they were blobs, but let us query them and also perform concurrent updates without messing up things. So we said, like, MongoDB has enough power to do this. It enables you to store the things as a complex JSON. It gives you in-depth query abilities and in-depth update abilities. So we said, like, hey, let's try to use it. So let me go here and show you how a mural looks like. So this is a mural, right? So we have here an ID, we have a title, we have an object which are widgets. Each widget is another object that has many properties, right? So this is our entity. What I would do is I'll go to Mongo. I do db use poorly db insert, and I'll insert this. Sorry, I missed the collection name. So it's db.murals.insert, whoop, like that. So I have that on my database. Since Mural.ly was too big to show what I wanted to show, I have created this small node app. That I will show you right now. Whoop. Which is called Poorly, which is a poor man version of Mural.ly. So it allows me to drag my only widget. It allows me to change the background color. And that's pretty much what it does. So as you've seen, this app matches the full model that I show you. So I have a widget, I have the X and Y, which are the position on screen, and I have the background. So the challenge now is, how do we talk straight to the database? So let me start by opening my HTML here, and I'll show you. A little a little of what I have here. So I have two handlers that handle these model changes. So I drag and drop, and as you can see, I have the color, I have the X on Y, and this is how many operations we are firing up each time we move a thing. So let me go ahead and create the logic for submitting these operations. So we have created a canonical operation model where we can say var op1 equals id1, which is my only widget, property name equals x, property value equals e.x. I will do this op2. I will update y. As you can see, we are sending one value, one property at the same time, and I'll copy this and send back color. Color equals color. So I will invoke my submit operation command, which I will dig into right now. Okay, so we have here the submit operation command. What does it do? It basically says post two operations, which is a route that I'm going to create, with an stringified version of the payload, which are these operations, saying that they are JSON and a UTF, that it's JSON, and when it succeeds, we are getting the Apache catchphrase that says it works, so it should be printed on the console. Now, let me go to the server, and let's create the route. The first thing that I will do is I'll add the connection code for MongoSkin. MongoSkin is a MongoDB driver that we're using. It's based on promises. It's a little bit higher level than MongoDB, the standard driver, but it's not as low, as higher level as the Mongoose that lets you model stuff. We wanted something really simple. So I'll go ahead here and create the route that says when I post two operations, it will get the rec and res, and this is where we are. Right, so I have the route. This will be the analogy of having a route on ASP.NET MVC that is listening on the post verb on this path and gets the request and the response as the incoming parameters. So what do we do? So we know that there is an operation that comes on the request body, which is what I'm sending. So we have created this function that says property to where. So I'll send the operation, and it will return me widgets dot the widget ID dot the operation name dot the property name. So I'm going to use this to store the actual to create the actual update instruction. So I will create the clause. Mongo has this operator that it's called dollar sign set, that when you set a property name, it will only change that property name and will not override everything that is in there. So we're saying create a clause that updates this, just this, set the property value to what you are getting here, and we'll say db collection mutals update where id equals m, and use the clause that I just sent you to update, and the function will be will get an error that it's not going to happen. So do error handling, and what I would do in here is I will change I will end the request sending a 200. So I have my backend written, I have my client written. I'll go ahead and restart my app. So I'll go here we will refresh. And let's monitor what's going on the network. So when I move, I'm killing my web server. So as you can see, all these that I've done represents 251 HTTP requests. So talking straight to the database is awesome until you hit the wall. So the wall, what we are calling the wall, is that there are so not so new browsers that will throttle how many requests you can perform to a single domain, right? Per unit of time. I think it's 1 second or 10 seconds. I don't remember exactly. But you cannot perform this many requests to a production server. Why? Because if I did in less than a minute 250 and I have 1,000 concurrent users, it will mean that I will be serving 250,000 requests per minute just for 250 concurrent users, which is unacceptable. So what we've done, we say, hey, let's batch the client. So what do we mean by batching the client? Getting all the operations on the same database, on the same batch, and then store them on a database with one call. So we minimize the amount of I/O that we have between the client and the server. We don't create a denial of service of our own service. Imagine that in Merlin we have support for multi-select, right? So if I grab 5 widgets or 10 widgets that are 250 operations per minute myself, I'll be creating a huge load of operation. So it will be like 10 by 250, which will be 2,500 operations per minute per user. So that was unacceptable. So we said, like, hey, why don't we create a batch on the client? We minimize the amount of I/O. We don't run into the throttling issues that I mentioned before. And we do not create a denial of service of our own service. So let's jump straight to the code. And let me show you what we have created. So I'll have an operations collection in here. I will, instead of sending the operations, I'll push them into my operation batch, and I'll create set interval that ticks every second. So what this will do, first it will check that I have operations to send. So if we don't have operations, just go. If we do have operations, we will submit an operation using a slice. We're using slice to copy. We can use it to throttle how many operations and the payload size and all that. I'll start with that. I want to copy because what I would do right now. So, because I'm cleaning this. But eventually, if this fails, I'll be able to re-enqueue these things. But I don't want to mess with the queue, so I slice them, copy the array assist, and then wipe the operations collection. So I have this. The rest works the same. We now need to change the client. So we will come here and say operation becomes operations, and we'll do operations for each one. Operation will wrap all the existing code in here. Instead of using the body, I'll use the operation. And I'll use operation in here. And I'll finish once the for each is done. So I will write here, I'll say like operation successfully sent to the database. Right? So I have this. I restart my app. And let's see what happened. Refreshing here. So first, we don't have any ongoing operations, but I will move. I'll change color. I move again. Move. And as you'll see, we're sending batches. This huge payload, which means this is what's happening on the client, sending back to the server. But now we are facing this problem. Like, each one of these requests is hammering our database. So how about we go ahead and batch it on the server? So why don't we create just one update sentence that will update many values at the same time? And also, since the operations come sorted by timestamp, we will just get the last value for each property. So we don't care about the full movement of the path. We care when you tick for the last time, which was the last operation that you've sent. So what I would do here is I have another helper method that it's called create operation group that will perform a set, but will write just one big clause. So instead of doing all these, I'll move this again as the callback of the exec. I will do clause equal create operation, create operation group. I'll pass in the operations. And I will run my server. Oh, one more thing for you to know what I'm doing is a console log clause, clause, which will show what I'm sending back to the server, I think. So nothing changes on the client. So in fact, I can send the batches. And you'll see that I'm always storing one property, many properties in just one single operation. So in this imaginary world where we have our server, our batches, and everything is working fine, what will happen if I introduce a delay? So since we are ticking every second, what I would do is I'll delay every operation execution by 5 seconds. So I'll put it in there. This means that when I get the request, it will take 5 seconds to execute that operation. So I restart the server. Now let's clean the client. We still don't need to refresh. And I'll start sending operations. So as you see, I have many pending operations. So what does it mean? Have you heard about race conditions? So a race condition is a computational problem that happens when something that was expected to finish after the first thing finishes before. It's a way that unsynchronizes stuff. So imagine that not all of our requests, as I've done on my sample, take 5 seconds, but instead it takes 5 seconds to execute one, but the other one is faster, the one that comes after is a little bit faster, and all that. We can run into these. So we said, like, hey, this is another problem that we need to control. I cannot have a client to have these many open connections to our server. So we were thinking, and we said, like, how are we control batches on the client? So what do we mean by controlling batches on the client? So controlling batches on the client is create a queue of HTTP requests and making sure that we will have one request from each one of the users hitting our server at a given point in time. So we won't run over this, like server is getting overflow because we are sending many requests at the same time. We won't be running into race conditions because we don't have these delays and stuff like that. So we will sort out concurrency on the client. We will have the client hitting the server one at the same time, and we will have an order system for storing things. So in this case, I'll be using jQuery Ajax, which is a plugin that uses the same signature but adds a queue, and it will enqueue the number of requests that you perform on a single client. So let me go back to my client code. I'll add the Ajax queue script that's there, and I'll change this to be Ajax queue, and I'll add the operations queue name. With this, we are going to have a batched client. So if I go back, I'll clean up this mess. You will see that no matter how long does it take, we always have one concurrent request per user per browser. So this is a way in which we are ordering concurrency. So I know that all this sounds fine, but for you to believe me, we need to see that this is working really, really great. So first thing, let's go to the console. Oh, I removed the thing. So let's see in the Murals database that we are storing things. So we will assume that color is that color. But what I will do is I will create the client version. So let's load Mural there. And let's add the get Mural route. So this means give me a Mural with this ID and look it up by the Mural ID and send me the resulting payload. The same goes in here where I'm saying when you get the thing, put the title on the screen here to be whatever you got through the JSON, and then you set the background color and all the properties for the widget that you have. So this means that if I reset the thing and I restart my screen, it will appear there. So I go here, we wait a couple of seconds because we still have that 5 second delay. So we don't have 5 seconds to wait, so I'll remove this. So I restart my server. So I change the background color, refreshes, appears there, move it, I'll put it here with another background color, when it starts appears there. So it's working, our model is working. So the question is what we've learned today. So if I have to give you our key 5 takeaways are concurrency. I won't read what I wrote there. I would say concurrency is a bad thing. Node.js and websites, Windows Azure websites, when we are running Mural, are meant to be. We love the fact that they run Node. We love IIS Node, which gives us the multi-core support. Like if you have many cores, you will have one thread per core, which is something that it's really cool. We've learned that you don't have to kill your own server. Like, you don't have to be running thousands or thousands of operations if they are not needed for for a given client. So you can batch it on the client, you can batch it on the server, you can set concurrency on the client. So I think that this path that we went through, it's clear enough to understand what we've done. When the fourth takeaway is, it's all about control and predictability. You can say many things. Like you would say, yes, you'll be able to, batch different type of operations, so you don't have to wait. And this kind of like, depending on what you're sending, you can create special queues and all that. There is maturity to this model, but at the end of the day, what I would like to know is that if I have one user sitting on one computer with one browser instance, I will get one request per second, the most. That I will be killing my server. That I will be serving 2,500 requests for a single user. That's what I wanted, and that's what we got with this. The fifth and the most encouraging one is like, you won't get this right the first time. So it took us almost a year to come to this model where we said like, okay, let's start with operation, let's start with blobs, then use the database. We cannot kill our server, we cannot kill the database, we cannot kill the client. So we end up having this, and this is the way that we came here, by thinking in different approaches, thinking about out of the box. But we were iterating, we were playing, and we were learning our lessons along the way. So these are our five takeaways. There is this other question. Is it working for us? Yes, totally. We're serving 95,000 requests per hour per server on small instances. Well, we're running on two, which means that we're running 180,000 requests per hour on two small instances, which will be around $150, which is awesome. We are serving 35,000 users and still counting. So this architecture works, at least for us. If you have an app like ours, I hope you don't be successful as we are, because if you're a competition, I want to win. But if you have an app that behaves like this, you'll probably want to use a similar approach. I'll show you. Let me open the mural that I started using. And let's go to the network where I will do this. And as I move, you'll see that I'm posting stuff and I'm sending operations. Our operations are a little bit more complex. Like we are saying who you are, which port you're hitting, your profile information, which port you're hitting, the property name, the property value, the widget ID, the action type. We have many actions. Like you can, we handle everything through operations. But as you can see, we're working, and we are using the same thing as you will be using. So it's working for us. It should be working for you too. Again, that's me. That's my Twitter handle. That's my GitHub. That's the Mural URL. Those are the URLs for this mural and the code for this talk. One more thing before we take off is, there are a couple of tools that you should be using if you will relay on your database. The first one is Dex, which is a tool created by the MongoLab folks. We use MongoLab on Azure. They have Azure support, and you can create your database on Azure. We have Dex, which will run it against your database. And based on your query patterns, they will suggest you which are the indexes that you should get rid of or improve. We run TenGen MMS, which is a software as a service tool that you will configure your agents. MongoLab folks have it. You can have it on your own data center running. It will give you how many page faults, how many memory you are consuming, and all that. It's a way to get insights from your DB, as our architecture relates on our database. We want these tools to be the more reliable that we can. Also, I recommend you to visit Azure Log Streamer, which is an Azure a way of streaming logs and getting a live tail of your Windows Azure logs. if you're using websites, I will completely recommend doing this. It's an awesome thing, and you should be using it if you're not using it. And a last piece of advice: whenever you are using MongoDB on your app, either for storing session or any other framework that may use Mongo, just make sure that you're using the same connection pool. When you start having multiple connection pools is when the things go wrong. So I would completely recommend you to revisit the connections to see the logs on the patterns of connectivity and make sure that you are connecting to your database just once and reusing the pool. You won't have concurrency problems since I know this single threaded. So you'll be always running with your pool. I will completely recommend you to use just one connection pool and make sure that you're doing it. If not, you will run into problems that you will not expect. So thank you very much for watching. I've saved the 15 minutes for questions on the original talk. That's why this will be a little bit shorter than what it was. I hope you have enjoyed. You have my Twitter handle. You have the mural. You have the code. You have everything you need to create something like this. But you can ask. I'll be happy to answer all your questions. I'll be happy to give you thoughts on what you're doing. So feel free to ping me. Feel free to ping us. As a Mural Dev team, we're always willing to help people. And we're hoping that you like what we're doing. And if not, just let us know. If it's either feedback from the product or the architecture or whatever, we're always willing to listen to you and we would love to hear what you think. So thank you very much. I hope that this time the recorder doesn't need my recording. And we'll see you soon, definitely. I'll be happy to talk about all the cool things that we're working to create a great web app like Mural Dev. Thank you. Thank you.